Agenda item 10, commercial fishing guide logbook requirements, briefing and a public hearing. I don't know if we have any. I'm sorry?
Bet you we do have some.
Yeah, she hasn't given me a sheet yet.
I have a question about the rods. You see the rods up there?
Well, they can still work it.
What the hell's going on there? Broken, I don't know.
Gentlemen, we're waiting on you.
I'm going to have to ask you. Ask a question.
Carpenter, members of the commission. My name is Kelly Cunningham. I'm the Deputy Assistant Director for the Fish Program. Here with me today is Chris Donnelly. Chris is our Region 1 Fish Program Manager out of our Spokane office. So what we want to do today is report to you guys on our activities associated with implementing a proposed logbook system for guides. We'll begin by providing you the purpose and objective of our presentation. We'll revisit a little bit of history to provide you some of the context for how we got here today. We'll then address some initial feedback we got from the guide industry that helped us formulate the final version of the proposed rule as it stands today. And then we'll share some of the key provisions of the proposed rule, and then I'll summarize the formal comments that we received on the formal rule. And we'll wrap things up by talking about next steps and trying to answer any questions that you might have. So as I stated, the purpose of this briefing is to report back to you on our efforts to gather information from the guide industry with the objective of establishing a rule that would require guides to report on their activities. As it stands today, we have very little information about guiding in Washington. We know how many guides there are. We know how many actively guide. And we do have some email addresses from those guides who have been willing to share them with us. But other than that, we do not have any information, any quantifiable information that would allow us to answer some key questions related to guiding. Some of those questions as examples are, you know, what are the economic benefits of the guide industry in Washington? How does guiding in Washington impact local and statewide economies? It'd be nice to know how many of our recreational anglers utilize guides to access our recreational fisheries. And from the resource side, it'd be nice to know a little bit more about distribution and effort of guiding to address some of the concerns that we'll talk about here in a few minutes around overcrowding and the number of guides in Washington. So we believe the information we're looking for from the logbook will not only help us answer these questions, but also help us have additional conversations with guides and help inform management decisions. So with respect to background, I want to go back a couple years to the 2017 legislative session, where Trout Unlimited, along with a subset of the Olympic Peninsula Guides Association, drafted some proposed legislation that would have drastically changed how we manage guides in Washington. The proposed language did a couple things that made us a little nervous. Again, the fact that we didn't have quantifiable data created that anxiety for us. But the bill would have done things like create destination fisheries similar to what you see in British Columbia steelhead fisheries. It would have potentially established an outfitter model, which is a model that is utilized by a couple of other states in our neck of the woods. But again, represents a drastic change to how Washington guides are managed. And it would also have potentially created a limited entry. And again, without having the information about the impacts of guiding and the activities of guiding, we were pretty concerned about this bill. And as a result, we were not supportive of the bill. So the bill did not move during the legislative session, but instead we received proviso language in our budget that directed us to conduct some public meetings. We were directed to specifically have meetings in the Olympic, a meeting in the Olympic Peninsula and another meeting in the Klickitat area with guides and recreational anglers. The purpose of those meetings was to gather opinion information about those questions that came up in the bill, overcrowding, the fishing experience, the quality of the experience, whether or not the state should consider limited entry or these destination fisheries. We also, in 2017, received authority from the legislature to implement a logbook system. So we had those meetings. We actually conducted 7 public meetings and an additional 7 meetings with various guide groups in 2017. In addition to that, we contracted 2 independent surveys. One was specific to guides to gather their opinions. The other was specific to recreational anglers to gather their opinions. That report is in your packet, and you can review that. With respect to the logbook requirement, during those meetings in 2017, we committed to the guide industry that we would not move forward with the logbook piece of the legislation until we'd had that conversation with them. And that was the focus of our activities in 2018, where we had 5 meetings with guides across the state, and we had 4 additional meetings with individual guides associations to gather their feedback and their opinions about, you know, whether or not they supported a logbook, and if they did, what should it look like. I should also mention that to facilitate those conversations, we drafted some call it a straw dog rule that we used for folks to react to and provide us their feedback. In addition to the public meetings in 2018, we also realized that as a result of our experience in 2017, that there's a lot of guiding that happens in Washington, and guides are relatively busy depending on the time of year. And we wanted to make sure we gave folks an opportunity to provide us comments if they weren't available to attend a meeting. So we set up a web-based platform to be able to capture as many comments as we could. So we got a lot of great feedback from the guides that helped us formulate the proposed rule. There were some consistent themes. There were concerns about how we would use the data. Obviously, that concern is, hey, are you going to use this data to impact our business? Are you going to limit fisheries? Are you going to limit guiding? So there were some legitimate concerns they had with that. I think it's fair to say that the next concern we got the most feedback on was whether or not the logbook data would be disclosable under the Public Disclosure Act. There were a lot of concerns associated with the requirement to report non-guiding activity. So our initial rule and our proposed rule has that in there, and we can talk a little bit more about that later. There was some concern about what they were considering proprietary information, logging put-in and take-out locations. And then there were questions about other options. We heard feedback ranging from, you can get the economic data from the Department of Revenue, you should just work with the Department of Revenue, or rather than requiring the guide industry to report catch numbers, use catch record cards or use Creel. So those were all concerns that we heard. I think it's fair to say, in summarizing all of the feedback we received from the guide industry, that there is very limited support from the industry for a logbook system. The support that we do have has caveats, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So the proposed rule, and I should have mentioned up front, the proposed rule is also in your packet for your review, but just some highlights of what we're asking for. We're asking for the guide name, the license number, the date of the trip, the specific name of the water body, the site code of the water body, and then the species information, and was it hatchery wild, was it kept and released? And we also, in the proposed rule, are able to, we believe, keep the information exempt under the Public Disclosure Act under Chapter 4256, 430 of the Revised Code of Washington. So with these revisions that we made to the straw dog rule, we received a total of 64 formal comments on the rule. kind of broken those down for you here. 51 of those comments were from the guide industry. We had another 13 comments from non-guides, so recreational anglers was our assumption. Of those 64 comments, 24 of them were supportive of logbooks with those caveats that I mentioned earlier. They wanted it to be user-friendly, didn't want to have to spend a bunch of time entering the data. They didn't want us to include personal trips as a requirement, and they also suggested either make it voluntary or consider a phased approach, and the term that was used quite widely was a pilot program. The thought there was, hey, take the first year, use that first year to refine your reporting tool, don't issue any tickets during that first year, kind of ease the guide industry into this change. Those who were not supportive of the logbook, we had 40 respondents, again, citing those other data sources as viable. They used cost of entering the data and the time it would take as a prohibitive factor, and then again, the public disclosure concerns. I also want to mention that last night, right after the Fish Committee meeting, I received an email, and a letter was attached copying you all. I forwarded that to Tammy. I don't know if you've had a chance to provide that, but this letter was from a group that is newly formed. It's the Northwest Guides and Anglers Association Washington chapter, and we've worked closely with that organization over the course of the last about 12 months. I think they have at this point in time about 75 members who actively guide, and I committed to them that I would provide you kind of a highlight of what their concerns were. Three main points it's four main points. The concern they have is the proposed rule requires the guides to log the client information. And the concern that the Guides Association has is that this could be problematic if they have a client who refuses to provide them that information. They would be on the hook for it and facing a possible citation if that information wasn't included. So they'd like to see some language that requires the client to provide them that information. And what we're really looking for is their wild ID number and ensuring that they're actually taking out licensed recreational anglers. Secondly, rather than using the term site code, they would like us to use the catch record code on the logbook requirement. We use the term site code because we don't believe that the catch record code will capture all of the stretches of particular systems that are fished, but I think that's something that we can talk about and work through and bring back to you in August when we're in front of you again. Thirdly, they're strongly opposed to the requirement of logging non-guiding activity. So when they take their friends and family out fishing, right now the rule would require them to log that data. They're concerned about that. Our concern is from an enforcement perspective. Our enforcement program has come up on numerous boats that we know individuals are guiding clients, but when approached by enforcement, all of a sudden this is just a family outing. So they're concerned about that. And lastly, they would like to see this phased in implementation utilizing the pilot program that I mentioned earlier. So as far as next steps, some of these we've already checked off. We filed the CR-102 in February. We collected the comment that we just provided you. We're having the initial briefing here today. We'll be completing the concise explanatory statement in July, and then we'll be back in front of you for a decision regarding the path forward in August. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll have some serious input here after public testimony, but on a lighter note, I wonder if you could turn to slide number one, the introductory slide. And I wasn't sure what guided trip this was on, but I couldn't help but notice the rod, and I couldn't help but notice the side of the salmon, and I wasn't sure if the salmon was stabbed with a broken rod or a sea lion broke this rod and then got the salmon too, or what's going on in that picture, and who might that be anyway?
So
we were wondering
So that's a picture.
He's wearing a promotional hat.
How long was that rod when you started?
So I actually took that picture, and that was, 2 years ago, Chris? And that was a very interesting situation where it was the last fish of the day. Chris hooked up. Well, actually, I hooked up, handed Chris the rod because he hadn't landed one yet, and I didn't want him to... I wanted him to invite me out again. And got the fish within about, I don't know, 30 feet of the boat, and a big old sea lion came and just porpoised on that fish, smashed it, and we wound up chasing that fish, I don't know, 15 minutes before we got it to the boat. It was heading back out to the ocean, and then it was heading up to Bonneville and then back toward the ocean, and the sea lion came up, I think, three times, and we finally got it in the boat. I mean, that first smash, Chris's rod just blew up, so he landed that fish with about 5 feet of butt section, and the kicker motor got a hard workout that day, so... I included that because I thought it might spark a question or two.
Yeah, I think it's a victory photo.
I can't speak to the hat. I know it's not a University of Montana hat, I can tell you that.
We don't have any public comments. So if you want to continue, we'll pass. Oh, we're warming up down there, too.
Well, I have my comments here on where to go with this, with regard to a commission decision now versus August. If there are questions of clarification on the presentation by other commissioners, that probably ought to go first.
Okay, Commissioner Baker, and then Commissioner Rose Miller.
I'm not sure if you consider this clarification, and it may be a question for Raquel, but there has been quite a bit of legislative interest in this issue as well. And so I was wondering if we have any crystal balls laying around. If we pass some version of this regulation now, have we checked back in with them to see whether it might all be for naught? In other words, we might see another bill this session.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Commissioner Baker. Raquel and I were just visiting over the lunch, and she had a conversation with Trout Unlimited, and we fully anticipate to see some version of the original bill again this upcoming session.
So just to expand on that, how would that affect what we do in August?
I can speak for myself. I would have the same concerns I had back in 2017. Those concerns being drastically changing how we regulate guides without having quantifiable data to be able to identify what problems actually exist and whether or not the actions that are being taken will address those issues.
And I'd like to add to that this issue isn't just salmon and steelhead. We have a large number of guides fishing Lake Roosevelt, Potholes Reservoir, Moses Lake, and we'd like to understand who's out using that resource. And so I think it gets boxed into salmon and steelhead, but I think it is a lot broader, and we could obtain a lot of information from other guiding activities.
Host Miller first, and then Graybell, if we may.
Well, I'm just going to build on what Chris just said, because at the meeting we had in Clarkston, I'm surprised you guys much negativity, but I think part of it was the selling, because we were explaining to the guides down there the benefits to it, and pretty quick you could almost see a sea change in the crowd. And I guess, how in the world can you measure something until you can market? And in our part of the world, it's a big, big industry, the guiding, fishing, this, that, and the other. To me, I think, as a department, it would be very beneficial to know the day trips and how many fish were getting caught, get a lot better data in which to use it. And I honestly think, after listening to guys in Clarkston, it would be beneficial to them, because you had a lot of knuckleheads out there doing who knows what, not getting paid, not having insurance, and this, that, and the other. This is going to sound surprising for me, because I'm not one for government programs, but there again, these are people making a living off in public waters with a public resource, and to ask them to help us gather data and have better data to work with, I think is a pretty small lift. If this is too big a deal for them, you might want to go to work at the sawmill. because there again, I'm seriously, it is. They're dealing with a public resource here, and it helps our fish managers with a lot better what's going on, the catch release, and all of this. So, because I know in our part of the world, we have people running up and down the river checking. You still would for the just the private people, but this is something that I think would be beneficial for everybody, and I think at the end of the day, it would be beneficial to the guide industry because you would sort out the riffraff that isn't buying the insurance and paying the taxes and doing all of this, too. So,
okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Graybill.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I agree with what Jay's talking about here, and we learned some other things during this process of these public meetings, some good suggestions about how to verify whether or not a guide is actually operating lawfully, ways to verify that they're actually insured. We learned a great deal about how they operate in ways that the unofficial guides get around some of the rules that we have in place. I also agree with Jay. The benefit of getting this data, you know, our catch record card system, that's a paper system, and it takes so long to get the data. One of the things that came out of these meetings was a prototype of an app that would allow these people to do it on their phones at the end of the day. Make it very easy. We talked about giving them even 24 to 48 hours to get caught up or whatever. So that, I think, was very well received, too, and it's a direction that we need to go in as a department for both commercial and recreational reporting. One of the things I should mention, when they're sensitive about how the department uses the data, one of the things that hasn't been brought up but is probably the primary issue, as you can well imagine, the guide business is a cash business, and I think there's a lot of them are very sensitive to how their activity is reported. And that's something, I'm sorry, you know, they're in business, you know, I'm in business, I have to report my income. That kind of goes with the territory of running business in any state. And so that's an underlying issue that wasn't mentioned in the presentation, but I think our presenters will agree is an issue that many of these people are sensitive to. At the same time, they would like to see the industry cleaned up. They are all aware of people operating outside of the guidelines that for legitimate guides. And so it's a mixed bag. There's some support, some opposed. I think the benefits outweigh that in that this industry is a significant industry in this state. And I think if people are aware of the economic value of the service they're providing, they will get more protections for their activities. And they will be respected at a different level when people realize how much they contribute to the state's economy.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
Gone.
Commissioner McKay, to the right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the process, as I understand it, is that we've got a staff proposal in front of us, and we aren't to make a decision today of any finality, but it's scheduled for our August meeting. And so the first question would be, should anything go forward or not? And I think what we've heard over here is some support for something going forward, and I would weigh in on that same side. This is a commercial economic activity that has a gain from the public resource, as Commissioner Halsmiller said. And while some of the data might not be needed in quota fisheries, I think for that reason alone, I think there's that puts me on the yes side that something should go forward. I would note, however, that without guides, there'd be a lot of people who would not go fishing. And the more people that go fishing, the more interest there is in fish, and the more people that are interested in fish, the better things are going to be for the fish, which is what we've also heard over here. With regard to the specific proposal, though, I wondered if there was a couple of alternatives that the staff could look at for our decision in August and come back with a little bit more information. One of them has to do with number F3, which is the reporting periodicity. It says weekly. And I know that in some quota-type fisheries that have creel senses, like the Lower Columbia River, there are times of pretty frenetic activity, and that the information collected on how many fish are caught is not going to be used to supersede the creel census. So I wondered if the staff could look at weekly versus monthly reporting and come back with some pros and cons of either one of those. Another one is that each day they're to go out, and that it would include go out fishing, period. This would include any personal use or non-guided fishing trips that occur. And while, as I said, I'm in favor of some sort of a logbook program for the reasons justified, I'm not that much in favor of being onerous to the point where it's just too onerous. So you mentioned enforcement as a concern on that. I wondered if in August we could hear about if that was included or if it was excluded. In other words, whether they had to report personal trips or not. There may be some guides that guide a little bit and go out with their family a lot. And so if there is an enforcement concern there, it would be nice for us to all to hear the enforcement folks' perspective on the degree that that's an issue and how it might work. I think those are the two little twists, and if the commission is interested in hearing more about those in August before a decision, I think it'd be appropriate that we open it in August for public comment too, because the analysis that would be coming forward is something the public ought to be able to comment on.
So you're asking them to evaluate the things you put on the table?
Those two things, okay. Yeah.
Any comments on that?
Anything, Chris, are you good with what you're doing?
I think we can do that pretty readily, and would be good to get feedback from the public, so that sounds workable.
And on the pros and cons of the weekly versus monthly in Lake Roosevelt, warm water fisheries, or places that don't have a creel census, if there's a catch implication there, it would be good for us to hear exactly how that might work when you come back.
Maybe some clarity. There's really two increments there. So there's a requirement to fill it out daily, and then there's a requirement to turn in your daily reports by weekly increment. And the one you would like clarity on is the turn in the reports weekly, correct?
That's correct. Still fill them out daily. The online situation, as Commissioner Graybill said, I've heard from guides saying that's what they would do before they leave, put the boat on the trailer.
Okay, one more comment down here, then we'll move on. Commissioner Thorburn.
Well, Commissioner McIsaac started off with a question about moving forward on this, and I'd just like to add my voice that I am supportive. I reacted to Commissioner Baker raising the question of potential legislation and equate it to the situation we just went through with the suction dredging rules. We still may see legislation, but we're responsible for getting the thorough information on these issues and deciding about what we think is the optimal approach forward. And it seems to me what I'm hearing is there's a need for information that this is going to provide to us before we do anything more. So I certainly am supportive of moving forward on this.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one other thing. This all has to do with logbooks. The other part of the proviso asked the agency to explore alternative structures for the guide licensing with the objective of having an equitable opportunity for both private and guide business, and also to ensure that the guiding sector is economically sustainable. And the staff talked a little bit about caps, limited entry, and this and that, but there wasn't any evaluation of alternatives on that. And so I wondered if the staff could talk a little bit about why that's not in our package for any kind of a decision.
Right. It's not in your package because we intend to utilize the data we receive from the logbook if you all agree to send us down that path to do that analysis and answer those questions. You know, do we have too many guides in Washington? If so, what's the right number? And if we need to get to that right number, how do we do that? Do we establish a cap and then through attrition get to that right number, or do we move forward with a limited entry type system and get there that way? So we intend to do that analysis, but we need this data in order to be able to do it wisely and well.
Okay. This has had some discussion in the Columbia River Forum because on the main stem of the Columbia River, there's the Oregon connection too. And so to whatever degree we would have a limited entry in Washington on the main stem of Columbia, it would be nonsense if it wasn't concurrent with Oregon. So I'm not sure how that gets into the mix, but it's had some discussion at the PRC table, and we need some coordination there at some point.
Yes.
Mr. Graybill?
Well, the alternatives were discussed. In fact, an alternative, I think you mentioned, Kelly, that TU offered some formats that are used in other states. You know, other states have outfitter systems and things like that. And those were discussed. And I agree with your statement. Currently, the number of guides that are operating on a certain area at a certain time is anecdotal. We don't really know. But that's one of the reasons that Trout Unlimited came forward, was the amount of pressure that was occurring on the Olympic Peninsula steelhead fisheries. And so this will be a great step forward. And we have concerns, say, on the Methow during the steelhead season, too. So this will give us hard data to analyze to justify any changes.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy your